Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't check yet, it's out, going on over there. It's hanging out there for you to take a look at. And, of course, the brand new one will pop up there sometime Saturday morning. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, though, look for that link and get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page and give that a like. Dan and I greatly appreciate it. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. So we have two games under our belt in Boston. The Red Sox won both of them, and when I got to work very early this morning, I was clicking on my phone, and the very first article I came across pertaining to the World Series, Dan, are the Boston Red Sox the greatest team of all time? Yeah, I don't know, Dan. You got to help me here. What?
They don't have, what, 27 world championships?
I was just baffled because it's great that they're up two games to none. They haven't won anything yet. So, you know, I get it. Okay, you want to be ahead of the game, and, you know, you want to be the guy who says that, oh, yeah, this is the greatest team of all time. But, yeah, maybe we could wait and see if they win the World Series. You know, teams have come back from two games down before, and, the other old saying is it's not a series until the home team loses a game. And we haven't played one in L.A. yet, so I don't know, Dan. I didn't read the article because it was just too damn early in the morning, and I couldn't put up with that kind of stupidity to start my day. I would have killed somebody at work had that happened. But, what the hell are they thinking?
I mean, it's definitely a headline grabber, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I noticed it right away, you know, and I mean, in reality, I probably should have read it just to see what the comparisons were, you know, I mean, what qualifies them, you know, for being the greatest team of all time, but, yeah, I couldn't deal with it. The weird thing was I heard – some of the talk this morning about how the Red Sox beat the Dodgers at their own game. And all I kept thinking is, but don't they both play baseball? So how did they beat them at their own game? So I'm so confused, Dan.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to ask you. Did they both play the same game? And if you're talking analytics, they both play the same game.
Right. I mean, everybody plays the same game now when it comes to analytics, right? It's about, you know, launch angle and swing plane. And, you know, I mean, it's not like one team is up there trying to, you know, draw walks and move runners over. You know, nobody does that anymore. Everybody goes up there looking to hit home runs, which oddly, I don't think anybody did last night. Yeah, I was baffled. How do you differentiate between teams now? You know, especially offenses. I mean, you can look at pitching and say, yeah, okay, this pitcher is probably better than that pitcher. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, you can work out and, you know, let's face it, David Price pitched really well last night. So that, you know, that has to be huge for the Red Sox and their fans. Ryu scuffed a little bit. 4 runs over 4 2/3 is a little rough. That's a lot to ask your team to come back from, especially after they gave him a small lead, right, Dan? Yeah, it was 2-1 after 4. So he had a little lead to pitch, but they're going into the fifth, and by then I was in bed, Dan. I didn't see it. He just couldn't hold it. Oh, no. Did I kill Dan again? Dan, where are you?
Oh, I thought I lost you, actually.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were gone.
No, I was planning on staying up, but at 10 o'clock, I just knocked out, and I woke up to the post-game show. So.
This is 3 hours and 12 minutes, so it was a little quicker. But obviously, for the Dodgers to win, they only got 3 hits. Freeze, Machado, and Puig were the only guys who got hit. And it looks like they were all singles. So, that's definitely tough to win a game on just 3 hits. The starters were the only pitchers who gave up any runs. The bullpens were... We're really good. I mean, the Dodgers used 5 guys. It was Ryan Matson, Julio Urias, Kenta Maeda, Scott Alexander, and Pedro Baez. And they gave up a total of 2 hits over the innings they pitched. The Red Sox used Joe Kelly, Nathan Eovaldi again, who's kind of becoming their best setup man, which is a little weird. And then Craig Kimbrell came in to pick up the save, and they didn't give up any hits. So... I don't know, was weather a factor, Dan? Was it colder? I only get to see a little bit of it. Luckily, tomorrow's game, I'll get to watch the whole thing, so that's a big plus. But, did the weather play into it? Yeah.
I think that had a big part of it, too.
But yeah, so we move along. We're going to LA. We shouldn't have at least cold weather problems. At least there may be other issues. You never know what's gonna go on there. But yeah, we definitely shouldn't have any problems there. And the Dodgers are going with Walker Buehler, to try to pick up their first win of the series. The Red Sox counter with Rick Porcello. Dan, I heard it again today that, Walker Buehler is the best pitcher on the Dodgers staff. Are you buying that? I mean, are you glad he's the game 3 guy here? He's the guy you want to see out there?
Well, what other choice do you have? You don't really – you can talk about Urias. But I mean, it's game 3. The other 2 guys are out for the count.
Well, you could go to Rich Hill.
I'd rather go with Buehler.
just trying to give you options. Obviously, Alex would have been stuffed in the bullpen, so you're not gonna, that's his job. Theory, so he's not really an option anymore. So,
I mean, he's got strikeout numbers, but he's sitting at a high 5.40 ERA.
Yeah, I wanted to, if they have it here, I wanted to get a look at his postseason game log. let's see how things are going. I have a problem judging these guys. I guess you say he pitched good in that game 7 against Milwaukee, but he was only around for 4 2/3. He did give up 6 hits, but he limited them to 1 run, and he struck out 7. So is that a good outing in today's game, Dan, with the way they handle pitchers?
Technically, yes. Not for you.
Okay. Yeah, again, that's kind of baffling. And even his outing before in game 3 wasn't bad. He did give up 4 runs, but he put up 7 innings, which is stuff guys just aren't doing now. And he struck out 8, so he's racking up the strikeout totals. And I've got to assume that's going to continue against a team like the Red Sox. I would, depending on how long he manages to pitch, he's got a chance to, to hit double digits if he's in there for 7 innings. So, I don't think he can afford to give up 6 hits to the Red Sox like he seems to be doing in the start. Porcello, what have we got here? It looks like he's made 2 starts this postseason and oddly 2 relief appearances. His last start against the Astros wasn't very good. It was 4 innings with 4 hits, or excuse me, 4 innings with 7 hits and 4 runs. His start against the Yankees was really good. It was 5 innings with just 4 hits and 1 run. Not striking out a lot of guys. Both his relief appearances have been clean. He's pitched an inning and 2/3 of relief and only given up 1 hit. So, yeah, I guess it's a good thing the Red Sox have a 2-0 lead because it looks like the Dodgers have a big advantage on the mound, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, they should.
And of course, with Porcello being right-handed, we'll get to see the Dodgers' left-handed lineup. Which means, guys like Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy will get some at-bats, not just, pinch hit appearances, but they'll actually get some legitimate at-bat, which is, I guess I understand the strategy a little bit, Dan. You want that righty-lefty matchup, but, I'll give you Muncy because this is the first year he's ever done anything. But, man, don't you want Bellinger in there even against a lefty? The guy is talented.
I mean, traditionally, yes, but that doesn't exist anymore for some reason.
What I'm kind of thinking here, Dan, is if it does boil a game down, go boil down to a game 7 like you and I think it will, you're going to get Chris Sale or David Price for the Red Sox. Bellinger's bat is on the bench. And, you're basically going out there without your best lineup because you're caught up in this idea that you've got to play all these righties against the left-handed pitcher. And, wouldn't you want your best players, Dan, regardless? I mean, lefties can hit lefties, can't they?
Well, according to my analytics, with 3 strikes, 2 strikes and 2 balls.
Yes. So, yeah, it's been one of those things that makes me shake my head a little bit. It's like, wait, why can't he play? Did they sit him against every left-hander this season? I didn't see enough of the Dodgers to know, but yeah, that seems weird. So, yeah, I don't know. But I saw here, Dan, 13 teams have come back from losing the first 2 games. Oddly, the last one was the 2004 Boston Red Sox. So we'll have to see if the Dodgers can add their name to the list or if, 2-0 is just a little too much for them to overcome, which I think it's going to be, right? You think so too now?
Yeah, I'm not feeling very good. We should have never made the bet. I should have picked Boston.
Well, now, you know, see, and that's why I gave you the choice. You know, you can't tell me, you know, otherwise. But they projected the Dodger lineup, Dan. This is what it will probably look like tomorrow or a facsimile of it. Jock Peterson will get the start in left field and lead off. He's a left-handed bat. Max Muncy plays first and bats second. He'll be one of the other left-handed bats. Justin Turner at third, obviously he plays third. Manny Machado cleanup at shortstop. Cody Bellinger hits fifth and plays center field. He's the other left-handed bat added in. Then it's Yasiel Puig in right hitting sixth. Chris Taylor at second base hitting seventh. Austin Barnes hitting eighth and doing the catching. And then, of course, Walker Buehler in the ninth spot because he's a pitcher and Joe Madden's not managing the Dodgers. So, yeah, you know, even more looking at this now, Dan, if you're going to keep Bellinger in the five hole, I see absolutely no reason he can't play against a frickin' left-handed pitcher. You're killing me, right? They're killing you? Or us?
Yeah.
They're killing somebody, aren't they? Oh.
I don't get it. I mean, your best player is your best player.
So, yeah, and then the Red Sox, it's projected that the Red Sox are going to do exactly what you said. They're going to move Mookie to center and play J.D. in right to keep his bat in the lineup, and then Jackie Bradley Jr. will go to the bench. So no Mookie Betts at second base, like I think a lot of people, me included, had kind of hoped to see. So but, yeah, I don't know, you know, I guess that's just going to be my hang-up, Dan. That's going to be my big thing is just the fact that, you know, they're not playing against lefty. Or, you know, especially Bellinger. But, you know, the other two I understand.
Yeah. Well, if Boston loses in L.A., you could blame it on the fact that Mookie didn't play second.
Yeah. Well, that would be the excuse, you know. Kinsler doesn't hit or Brock Holt doesn't hit or something, that's going to be the big thing as well. They should have put Mookie at second, even though I don't think he played there off season, and he hasn't played there in – I don't think he played there last year either.
I don't remember.
It's Jason Kipnis, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, no, Jason Kipnis.
Yeah. So I want to look it up here real quick and see if what the last time he played second base was. Actually, he did make an appearance at second base this year. He played six innings in one game that he didn't start, and he handled both the chances he had. So, yeah, that was this year. Last year, yeah, other than that, he hadn't played second base, Dan, since 2014. So, yeah, not sure if that's, you know, and even then he only played 14 games at second base. So he has a total of 15 appearances at second base in his major league career. I don't know. Is that the move you want to make in the World Series?
No, not at all.
You know, I guess maybe if it's, you know, you get a laugher or something and you want to try it for an inning or two, that might not be a bad deal. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just scary. So, now, you know, I did want to, you know, I know I always ask you the Dodger questions, obviously, because you picked them. But, for game four, obviously there's going to be a game four. With, you know, Evaldi seeming to be almost the setup guy for the Red Sox here, who starts game four?
What do you mean, for the Dodgers?
No, for the Red Sox. You know, because it's been Al Porcello, but, you know, Evaldi appeared last night in relief. Can they go back to Sale, or is that too quick of a turnaround? Or, you know, I know teams used to do it where it was just three guys, But, you know, that kind of went away, and now teams seem to use four starters. You know, do they bring Evaldi back? I mean, he did only pitch just one inning in game two, but what if they need him tomorrow? You know, so, I mean, who's there? Who could they start? Maybe they do a bullpen game. Oh.
No, I mean, I think either way, if they win or lose, you go back to Sale in game four. You know, he only pitched five innings.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and now, do you see the Dodgers going back to Kershaw, or is it Rich Hill?
Yeah, I think you have to match them up because, you know, I saw an article. I thought Urias was going to be pitching tomorrow, this week, but I mean, maybe they try to pull something out of the Brewers' hat, and you know, maybe pull the starter or the opener.
Yeah.
And go with Urias for an inning or two and then bring Kershaw in.
Yeah, they could. You know, and I mean, if you're going with a guy like that, I mean, you could actually play it by ear and see how it goes. You know, I mean, if he starts to roll, you could leave him in there. I mean, he is a starter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not like, you know, you'd have to go, okay, well, let's take him out. No, he's humming along. Let him go. He could go 5 to 6. So, but yeah, I guess we'll have to wait a couple days for that and see. Now, do you think a lot depends on how Friday goes? Like, say the Red Sox win and they go up 3-0. Do you think maybe they push Sale back that extra day and then go with, you know, because they do have, like, I know Eduardo Rodriguez is on the playoff roster, and I'm sure they have another starter in the bullpen that's down there. Do you think maybe they go that route and push Sale back the extra day?
If they win or if they lose?
Yeah, if they win tomorrow. Say they win and they go up 3-0. You know, would you do that, or would you still run Sale out there if you're the Red Sox?
No, I mean, you want to close this out, so you want to go with your best guy. So, you know, you definitely push it back. I think either way, I mean, you go to Sale no matter what, so that in the event that a game 7 is needed, you have Sale for game 7.
Yeah, I'm looking here to see if there's any cool questions. Like, I don't care how the bullpen lines up, right? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Yeah, God, they frequently ask questions, but there's nothing here. Well, you know, I guess the one thing, Dan, obviously with the DH, you know, the Dodgers lose Matt Kemp's bat. You know, he's been a run producer. He's got an RBI in the, you know, both games. Should they have maybe found a spot for him? You know, Chris Taylor's in the lineup. You know, I mean, I would prefer to have Puig in the lineup. That's just, I think, you and I. But should they have maybe found a plug-in for Kemp somewhere with, you know, I mean, he really has been their only run producer in the first two games.
Well, I think he's going to find a way in. Thank you. I mean, the way they pull pitchers so quick. You're going to need a pinch hitter in the fifth inning. So I think he's going to find his way in and quite possibly, you know, be transitioned into the outfield. Because if Chris Taylor's playing in the outfield and it's needed, he can always come into the infield on a double switch, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just kind of, you know, I was kind of like, oh, this guy's been their best hitter, and he's, yeah, so...
Well, I mean, the challenge, too, is he's been the best hitter when it comes to the starting pitching. So, yeah, I think that's where the challenge comes.
Yeah, all right. Well, we did see Dan, you know, and I didn't think baseball allowed teams to do this, but we actually had two managerial announcements today. Did you catch either one of these?
I thought I caught one, but I don't remember.
Yeah, the Blue Jays made a hire, and if this is how you pronounce this guy's last name, he may be my new favorite manager. He's the former Rays bench coach, and I'm guessing his name is Charlie Montoya. M-O-N-T-O-Y-A, Montoya. And I'm sure there's a bunch of say hello to my little friend Joe Santo somewhere. But, yeah, he's got 18 years of major league experience as a coach, but he's never been a major league manager. And they came out of the Rays system. So he's going to take over in Toronto. And, yeah, oddly, there was a second hire, and I'm surprised that the actual MLB.com site doesn't have it. So I'm going to have to search a little bit and see if I can. There you go. Twins made a hire as well, Dan, and I'm not sure. You may have been on strike against baseball when this guy played, but they hired Rocco Baldelli, who automatically becomes the youngest manager right now. He is 37 years old. Interestingly, he has no managerial experience at all, but another Rays coach at the job, Dan. He's been the Rays first base coach for the last three seasons.
Hey, well, you know, everyone's jumping on that Rays bandwagon because what Joe Madden did, and then, you know, they're semi-success this past season. But, you know, it never had managed before. It worked for the Cardinals with Mike Matheny, so it could possibly work there for 10 years.
Yeah, you know, I guess we'll kind of see – you know, how it goes. It looks like they're saying Baldelli beat out the Twins bench coach, who had an interview, a fellow by the name of Derek Shelton. And the other finalist was Cubs bench coach Brandon Hyde. But they decided to go with Baldelli. And like I said, just 37. So it'll be interesting to see how his first year or so on the job goes. But, yeah, we're wrapping up the managerial hires. You know, the Reds have a guy, the Angels have a guy, and now we've got the Twins and the Jays at the market. I think either Rangers the only one left looking for a manager.
I don't remember who. Baltimore?
Oh, the Orioles.
And the Angels. Or
the
Dave,
the Angels hired Brad. Yeah, they hired Brad Ausmus.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm looking through here real quick just to see if anything pops out, who made changes. And, yeah, I think that's it. I think it's just the Orioles and the Rangers.
Does that make Joe Mann the oldest manager in baseball now then?
No, it might. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what their ages are. But we'll have to check into that maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, just going off the top of my head, I feel like he is because he's in his 60s. I know that. I know he hasn't hit 70. Unless I'm wrong on that one, but to me, it seems like that because I know Renteria is not that old.
Yeah.
You know, you brought up the managers, and of course, you know, I didn't read this article because, you know, it's definitely a Homer thing. But of course, NBC Sports Chicago put this one out. I was scrolling through Facebook. Joe Girardi is holding out for a job in Chicago. Which team will it be? I mean, that's definitely off-season baseball talk when both your, you know, both Chicago teams are not in the World Series, you know, i.e. the playoffs either. Can you even picture this with the systems that are set up on both sides of town?
Yeah, you know, oddly, he would be a gigantic change with his style from, you know, any manager that's out there, wouldn't he be?
Yeah, he's definitely has that more old school style, but, you know, with both the White Sox and the Cubs, you know, that's kind of what I'm sticking with right now. With their systems and not just the on-field stuff, but the offices and then the way, basically the way the offices have run their teams. Does Joe Girardi fit into either one?
You know, I guess he could. I you know, I wouldn't see him as a fit with Theo. That doesn't seem like a good connection there. But, you know, I mean, the White Sox, you know, a guy like that could be a, you know, he could be a, you know, a big deal for a young team. He could be a lot of help there. So, you know, maybe that's a possibility, you know, down the road. I don't think there's, you know, any need for it right now.
Well, yeah, and I don't really see it happening, but I think part of the intrigue with that one, and I don't remember what Renteria's contract term is, but obviously, you know, it hasn't been confirmed. Joe Madden, Joe Madden's coming back next year. Well, yeah, he's under contract, so why wouldn't he come back next year? I don't think you're going to pull a Chicago Bears and pay a coach just to sit out for no reason. And despite what people think, I hate the term the lame duck manager. You can't tell me that a guy like Joe Madden or any guy that gets into the position of the head coach for any Major League Baseball team is just going to crap out a team because, well, I don't have my extension or I'm not secured for next year. Because at the end of the day, unless Joe Madden's intentions are completely to retire, which I don't see that happening, if he doesn't come back in Chicago, I think, if anything, he may end up spending a year off. But I think another team would pick him up. I just don't like that whole lame duck thing because you can't tell me that he's just going to crap out on the team like what the Cubs have in place. Because, you know, if that were the case, Theo and company, or even on the South side, Rick Hahn would most likely just fire their manager if that were the case. But, you know, with Theo, it just seems like the lineage of Chicago Cubs that come back into the organization is all but non-existent. I mean, except for Ryan Sandberg. You know, you've always had the guys from the 60s hanging around. But aside from Ryan Sandberg, we haven't seen, and he doesn't even work for the Cubs technically. He does more post-game stuff on the radio. So you really don't have a lineage of former Chicago Cubs even coming into this, you know, front office system. And then on the South side, I think, like you said, I think Joe Girardi would be just a big-time change for that, and it would suck for Renteria being known as the guy who, you know, that runs you through the crap years or the rebuilding years and then gets fired to go on to the next team to kind of help rebuild the youth. Joe Girardi, I think, would be successful on the South side, not next season, but after that. But, you know, and I don't know how Rick Hahn is able to run it all, but the loyalty factor definitely plays in when you talk about the South side. So, you know, the fact that Girardi really has no lineage to the White Sox, I just don't really see that happening.
Yeah, well, you know, and like your lame duck theory is kind of, you know, right on. I mean, think about it. If a guy more or less tries to give away a season for a team, but yet he's still planning on trying to manage the next year, who's going to want to hire that guy? You know, because now you've just added a bad year to your resume.
Yeah.
You know, the team went out and had a bad year under your tutelage. So, you know, it's like, great. Nice going, idiot. Yeah. So, yeah, there's no way a manager, just because he's in the last year of his deal, is going to, you know, going to tank a one-year contract. And, I mean, you can even look at it, you know, take the NHL, for example, here. Bruce Boudreau was in the last year of his deal with the Capitals last year. They won the Stanley Cup. Washington actually lowballed him on his deal. He went out and got a big money deal from, I believe it's the Islanders. So if you're interested in managing, still, it's better for you to win, no matter what your contract situation is. So, you know, yes, yeah, so that makes little or no sense to me when it's like, well, you know, yeah, but he's a lame duck. So what? You know, what's that mean? You know, he's not going to try to manage?
He's going to get all his buddies' jobs and then quit because they're all going to get fired anyway? But it's not the same as politics. You know, Madden is going to go in and sign a bunch of players only to get fired or quit the next year. It's not like politics. You know, when we talk about politics, the governor or the president – and I'm not going to say names because it doesn't really matter. At the end of his term, can, you know, veto laws or put them through just because he's not going to be there next year. And then the next term, they just, you know, go against what the president did anyway. So it all comes full circle. But it doesn't work that way with sports. And I hate when people say that. I'm like, and again, Big Jack, I think you and I, we'd love to argue about this one, but it's not an argument. That we just don't understand how people who work in this industry for a living, this is what they do, how they come up with the dumbest things. But I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I've wondered that for a while now on how some of these things come up. But you know, while Dan is off taking his little break, let's you know, we haven't talked too much about the, you know, with the World Series and stuff going on. Obviously, we've been kind of focused on baseball, but let's take a look and let's see what's on the NBA schedule tonight and if there's any fun matchups and all that stuff. It is a smaller night. It's TNT's night to cover games, and there's only four on the schedule tonight. We have the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Detroit Pistons. The Portland Trailblazers at the Orlando Magic. These games should actually just be either getting underway or have already started. The first game on TNT tonight is the Boston Celtics at the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I know Russell Westbrook is supposed to play, so that could really, really kind of entice that game. And then the night wraps up also on TNT here. The Denver Nuggets against the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, you know, the Nuggets have been one of the surprise teams. They're out to I want to double check it because I want to say 5-0, but I want to double check. Let me get the standings here real quick, and nothing goes real quick when I want it to go real quick. So I'm waiting for my NBA standings to pop up here. And there we are. Actually, the Nuggets are 4-0, and they are taking on a Lakers team that just won their first game last night. Yeah, the Lakers are 1-3. And I saw somebody talking about the Lakers' upcoming schedule. They have, with this game and then their next two, there's a chance they could be 1-6. I don't know who had the Lakers starting 1-6. But interestingly, the Rockets are down here at 1-3 as well. But, yeah, so it's the 4-0 Nuggets against the 1-3 Lakers. And then the Thunder are actually looking for their first win. They are 0-3. And like I said, they're getting Westbrook back, so that should help. While the Celtics are 2-2, so not, you know, I think some of the teams we thought were going to be, you know, rolling there haven't got off to the great, you know, the starts we thought they would. So, you know, like the 76ers are 2-3. You know, I mentioned the Celtics at 2-2. You know, they're scuffling a little bit. You know, the Thunder, you know, the Rockets, the Timberwolves are just 2-3. So, you know, it's been, you know, and I mean, the, you know, obviously the weirdest thing is the Warriors have already lost the game. Granted, they're 4-1, but, you know, most of the time we don't expect them to lose games until, you know, about mid-season. So, yeah, and there are, you know, some undefeated teams left. The Nuggets are still undefeated. The Pelicans are 0-3, and we actually have three Eastern Conference teams. The Raptors are 5-0. The Bucks are 4-0, and the Pistons are 3-0. So, yeah, you know, it's you know, it's been a little of an odd start, I think, to the NBA season. You know, things kind of shuffle around, and, you know, obviously, you know, new faces in new places and all that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, some really, I guess, what you would call big news here, and it concerns the Houston Rockets and two deals. James Harden is going to be out. They're saying at least two games with a hamstring strain. You know, not the thing a 1-3 team wanted to be dealing with, is having their best player go out with that. And, you know, that kind of stuff can linger. So, you know, they'll have to be careful with that. But, you know, as we know, Jimmy Butler is dying to get out of Minnesota. And apparently the Rockets won in on the Jimmy Butler experience, and they have offered Minnesota 4 first-round picks to acquire Jimmy Butler. Now, obviously, these aren't going to be high draft picks, because the Rockets are a playoff-caliber team and will contend for an NBA title. So you're talking about picks that are going to be 25 or above for sure, but 4 picks is a boatload, and then, you know, maybe you could move a couple of them to get yourself up to where you need to be. But, yeah, that's a huge deal that they're going to go 4 number ones. Now, you know, we know, you know, Minnesota's been a little, obviously, lenient to trade him. Tom Thibodeau would like to hang on to him. The owner wanted him gone before the season started. This is a pretty big offer. So I don't know if they'll be able to walk away from something like this. You know, and interestingly, Butler is in the last year of his contract, so he doesn't have to stay with Houston after this. But, you know, man, imagine, you know, the fit with Harden, you know, and Butler plays defense. James Harden is notorious for not playing defense. But you add in Jimmy Butler with James Harden and Chris Paul, and, you know, even in a loss last night, Carmelo had a good game. I mean, boy, you know, you throw Butler in that mix, and, I think the Rockets could give the Warriors a run for their money with that. And I just saw it, you know, yeah, including 4 first-round picks. I'm guessing, would they have to include players because of the salary cap? I don't know how that would work out. So, but yeah, it's definitely something I think the Timberwolves would have to look at. You know, again, you know, it's not like the Rockets are going to be in the lottery or anything, so they can, you know, they can easily, you know, kind of have this move along. You know, there is some talk that, you know, the Timberwolves would want them to take the, I believe it's Gorgui Dang contract that has $48 million on it still. Hmm. So, you know, that's possible that may be included as well. But I don't know, can they walk – are they going to get a better offer than 4 first-round picks? I mean, is there going to be a lottery team come in and say, hey, we'll give you – 3 picks for Butler? You know, that would probably be the equivalent if they're in the lottery the next 3 years. But I don't know why a lottery team would do that if there's no guarantee Butler's going to sign with them. So,
I mean,
yeah, I'm just.
I don't think you even think about it. I think you just sign on the X.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of the things I saw in the offseason, was it a mistake for Minnesota to give Thibodeau that, you know, president and manager role?
Yeah.
But I
was it? Oh.
You know, if he held out and this is the offer he's getting, maybe he wasn't getting this offer in the off season.
No, he wasn't.
So
they got nothing close to this kind of offer in the off season.
And granted, it was what, a week before? A couple
yeah.
weeks, right before preseason started. So, I mean, I don't know. I think you go with that, and I think it's a win-win for both sides. Unless, you know, Houston gets stuck with that big contract. But, like you said, I think that team added with Jimmy Butler just definitely gives them a shot at maybe not knocking out the Warriors, but definitely giving them a run.
Yeah, it definitely makes them competitive. So, you know, and especially now, you know, it's odd that, you know, the Rockets seem to be dinged up. I mentioned Harden. They're going to keep Harden out at least two games. It says here it's a grade 1 plus left hamstring strain. Nene, who's one of their bench players, is going to be out 2 weeks due to a right calf strain. And then one of their other bench players, James Ennis, has a grade 2 right hamstring strain. So he's going to miss some time as well. So, yeah, the Rockets here all of a sudden magically really dinged up. And, you know, just the addition of Jimmy Butler could just provide a little health as well. So.
Well, like you said, the one thing he would definitely contribute to this team is defense.
Yeah. You know, especially since they're just four games in the season and they're just dinged up. So, you know, and obviously, you know, locally here, the Bulls aren't far behind them. You know, they just lost Bobby Portis. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. They're still waiting for Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Denzel Valentine to all return. So, you know, and this is a bad team. The Rockets are a playoff team. The Bulls are going to be nowhere close to a playoff team, and they're missing four guys. So,
hey, Jabari Parker's looking pretty good, though.
Yeah, well, that's good. He's good. That's important. So, but I do have to ask you this. I saw this earlier, Dan, and I honestly just don't know who would watch this. I mean, I guess there would be people out there, but you know, the day after Thanksgiving, they're going to do the Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson, you know, head to head golf thing. I don't know if it's match play or what they're doing with it, but I thought
aren't they trying to pay per view it though?
It's going to be on pay per view, and I thought today that they're going to go with $19.99 as the asking price for this.
Oh, wow.
Dan, who's paying $20 to watch this?
There's going to be a lot of people who will pay to watch this. Not me, of course.
You think so?
I'm not in the golf. I mean, the day after Thanksgiving, you know, you're my age. Well, I mean, you got to think about the demographic. It's definitely my age to your age, right? And obviously everything in between. I don't know if you go any younger than me, if the guys are trying to gravitate towards. But, you know, let's just go 35 to what, 60? Is definitely a good range.
Hey! The hell?
I know you're younger.
Oh.
I know you're younger than that. I wish I was 35. Shoot, I wish I was 30 again.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, let's just go from 35 to 60, maybe 65 range, day after Thanksgiving. You know, for those that are married, but for those that are single, you're not really intrigued into going out to the Black Friday sales unless you're suckered in. Besides all that, you're probably home already because you sat in line all night at 3 in the morning and got the PlayStation 8000. At, you know, well, you didn't get the PlayStation 8000 because, you know, they only had 7 of them at Best Buy. So you're screwed out of that. But, you know, my sarcasm aside, there's going to be a lot of people who realize the Black Friday deals, and especially us men in particular, that it's it's a load of crap. You're not going. And $20, you're sitting around, you're really into golf. As opposed to watching how many guys are in a golf tournament. You know, what is it? To me, it seems like there's 60. Now you got a head-to-head competition. It's not as bad as I thought. You know, especially when, you know, the big McGregor fights or any boxing or, you know, any other pay-per-view event that's going on, you're looking at a lot of money. So $20 isn't so bad. Not very big.
This is a $9 million winner-take-all 18-hole showdown, Dan. So, and now I got an article here. Bob Dorfman, who apparently is an advertising executive, he's with something called Baker Street Advertising, predicted that the match could attract up to 1 million buys in the United States. So not a bad number. Oh, did you mute yourself again? Because I can't hear you. Or did you fall off? Let me check and see if Dan fell off. No, Dan is still here. Dan, where'd you go? Oh well, I think we killed Dan. I hate when that happens. Yeah, because originally Dorfman himself said he wouldn't pay more than $10. But he did tell, you know, the people that were interviewing him here that he thinks under 20 would be borderline acceptable for curious golf fans on what he describes as a slow Thanksgiving Friday. So that's what they went with, you know, 19.99. So
I would have went with 14.99. I think you'd get a better buy rate. But
yeah,
is that what's the time on that though?
That I don't have listed yet here. They don't have an actual time frame for it. They do have the date, obviously November 23rd, but this article does not have a time. Let me there were a couple more here. Let me see if somebody else has a start time or something like that.
No start time. I'm assuming
Wait, this one says it has a start time here. Let me see if it's 3 p.m. Eastern, so 2 p.m. by you and I.
No, that's not bad.
And you got to figure, you know, if you do buy it, my guess is you'll probably get a replay as well, since you paid the $20 for it. You know,
yeah.
you'll probably be, you know, given a replay. I know some places do that. So, but yeah, it looks like right now they'll be on Turner's BR Live. I don't know what that is. DirecTV and AT&T UVerse will also carry it. It looks like Comcast, Charter, Cox, Verizon, and Altice will all be involved as well. So it's going to get major coverage. They're playing in Shadow Creek in Las Vegas is the course they're going to be on.
I'm sure they'll have a crowd,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, they'll definitely be people walking with them. So, you know, you've got to wonder what they're going to charge for those tickets.
You know, and all jokes aside, but are they going to have to put up netting too so that their fans don't go blind from teams flying?
Yeah, so, I don't think so. I think it's kind of an inherent, you know, thing when you know you're at a golf event that there is a possibility that you will be hit if you're not paying attention. So, but yeah, we shall see. So I can tell you, I won't, Dan, neither Dan nor I will be buying this. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure we'll have the results for you the Monday after Thanksgiving. And, you know, maybe we can, you know, talk about it a little then. But, you know, oddly, you know, just going into it, Dan, I know that Tiger's been playing a lot better and Mickelson hasn't played well at all. So.
Well, you know, it's definitely a twist on the game. I couldn't come up with any better pun.
It's
but,
for, this is huge territory for golf, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I mean, head-to-head matchup, they really don't do. It, you know, almost reminds me of like a pool game or something.
Yeah. So, you know, and the, you know, the tough part here is, you know, I really think Tiger is the only guy they can do this with, don't you? I mean, there's not another golfer. I mean, you know, especially in America, do you think Rory McIlroy could draw if they did him against the guy? I mean, I know if they did anybody against Tiger, people would watch. But is,
yeah.
Is there another golfer? Like, you're not a golf fan. Is there another golfer you know that pops into your head that they could do this with?
No, I mean, I don't think T.J. Rodriguez took off, does he?
Yeah. he does, but he's got to be pushing, what, 85?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you've got to wonder if this takes off, and I don't see it doing, you know, record-breaking numbers. Well, I guess it technically would be record-breaking no matter what they do because it's the first time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it might turn into something that they can kind of do going forward in the, quote, off seasons.
Yeah, you know, I, you know, like I said, I guess the tough part for me is, can they get another golfer that will draw?
Yeah, well, you,
you know,
not
besides,
necessarily all,
you know, like
pay-per-view. I think this is something you could do, you know, regular TV style.
You think a network would go for it? Who's, you know, who's picking it up besides the Golf Channel, obviously?
Well, I mean, the Golf Channel is owned by NBC, I believe. So if anybody, it would be them. You know, I mean,
yeah, cause I,
you know, and the way you look at it with sports, soccer's on networks in America now, which I don't really watch. And
a lot of them.
And yeah, and WWE is going to Fox. I mean,
yes.
If WWE is
going to
Fox. Yeah, but it's still kind of a big deal. I mean, you know, well, we had Saturday Night Live or Saturday Night Main Event back in the 80s, and, you know, that didn't last a whole long, but it was still, but it was a different era where today, you just don't imagine that, but I guess with the following that they got with the kids, since they got away from the grown-up market, it's definitely a good thing, you know, with having kids so you could, you know, take up their Friday night watching it on Fox, and then their, you know, dads and brothers can watch UFC on Saturday night. But, you know, with the way things are going, I can foresee this kind of being a thing. Maybe not, you know, a weekly or anything like that, but I think they can make a thing out of it. Saturday afternoon.
It'll become a Thanksgiving tradition?
Yeah. After Thanksgiving tradition.
Awesome. You always have a chance to come around and listen to your mind, but don't forget.